All right, we're going to pray and we're going to get right into the word. Amen. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, this is the day that you made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the finished work. Holy Spirit, we want you to use us as an instrument to speak to your people. We want you to open our eyes that we see, our ears to hear, and give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's turn. Last week we left off in the chapter on the fork in the road, and we began to discuss some things. What I want to do, first of all, turn your Bibles. We're going to read a couple of scriptures tonight, and then we're going to see if we can look at the covenant some more. In Romans chapter 8, the scripture reads this way. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the Spirit, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are after the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwell in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." And so I wanted to go through that. And let you see there was a comparison of the natural and the spiritual. God was trying to show us something here, the Apostle Paul, through Romans 8. And I read that for a particular reason, because in the body of Christ, many times we are trying to live in the old covenant. That's why we try to punish people for what they're doing. The spiritual realm operates differently than the natural realm. The first covenant, one of the things that the Apostle Paul, the author, stated, and when we started this chapter, he said the primary thing that will help us to change our response to sin is to gain a deeper understanding of the new covenant that Christ established for us. So if we can understand the covenant that was made in Genesis, in Exodus, and the new covenant that Christ Jesus, that we have with Christ Jesus, then we have a better understanding of why the kingdom of God operates different and what we should be doing when it comes to sin. We have those awesome scriptures over in Galatians 6 and 1. And one of the things that it says over in Galatians, let's turn there, that's one of our basic scriptures since we're covering that area. He said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual," which we are spiritual. And it says that "ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering your own self, lest also you be tempted." And so let me go back and look at, let's go back and look at these covenants that God made. First of all, he made a promise to Abraham over in Genesis chapter 12. We go over there and look at that promise, and then we'll look at these covenants again and see what happened. In Genesis chapter 12, Abraham was a man that God could speak to. He could hear God, and God could give him something, and he would obey him and receive the promises that God had promised to him. In Genesis chapter 12, this was the promise. This was not a covenant. When he first talked to Abraham, he made a promise to Abraham. He said, on Genesis 12, 1, he said, "Now the Lord has said unto Abram," he said, "get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Verse 4 says, "And Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they went." So what God did, God came in and he saw a man. He asked a man, he said, "Abram," he said, "what I want you to do." He said, "I want you to get up and go to a place I'm going to show you," which was a promise. He said, "I'm going to bless you. If you just obey me, all I need now is for you to obey me and do what I tell you to do." He was looking for somebody who would hear him and obey what he told him to do. And so as we go through Genesis and read on through Genesis 12, we find out that Abraham went into Egypt and he had to tell a couple lies about his wife. He told one of the pharaohs that Sarah was his sister to keep him from killing him and his wife. So as we go on through. So we get over into Genesis chapter 17. And then here God now, like I said, the first part was a promise. And a promise, all you have to do, there's no, God just spoke to Abram, and when he spoke to him, all he had to do was believe what God said and do what he told him to do. Now here in Genesis chapter 17, God came in again. And he said, "And when Abram was 90 years old and 99, so he was 99, that's 15, 17, about 14 years later, God came back, and I'll ask for 24. He came back to him, and he talked to him again. And this time, he make a covenant with Abraham. When he made the covenant, it was between he and God. So it was between two persons. First time, God made a promise. Second time, he made a covenant. "And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him," he said, "I am the Almighty God." He said, "Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly." And Abram fell on his face and talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." So God's telling Abram at this time, he said, "My covenant is going to be between me and you." And he said, "I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham," which Abraham at that time was stated as father of many nations. So if wherever he went, when they call him out, they call him father of many nations. And I think about the scripture in Romans where God said, "Even God calleth those things that be not as though they were." And so at that time, Abram didn't have no children. He was 99 years old, and in your mind, in your thinking, in your processes, you're trying to, think out, how can I possibly be a father of many nations since I don't have any children? I don't have any heirs. He asked God, he said, "I don't have any heirs." He said, "Is this Eliezer going to be my heir?" And God told him, "No, I'm going to give you children from your own lungs." And I thought about it. It was funny because there's a young lady came in, elder lady came into the store, into the pharmacy, and she wanted a blood pressure check. And so one of the questions on there was, you know, it, are you pregnant now? And she, I mean, she bust out and she started laughing. I mean, she laughed. I said, and so when I asked her, I said, remember when God asked Sarah? Yeah, and Sarah started laughing also. And she, yeah, and she, that just made her even more ticker. And I said, now, you know, nothing is impossible now. And so, and so she went on. And so, but I was just going through. And Sarah, even when he told him that Sarah was going to have, she, you know, she began to laugh. So let's read a little bit further. He said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee and to thy seed after thee. He said, I'm going to make this. It's going to be an everlasting covenant. This is God and Abraham. He cut the covenant. And then he went on and he told him what he had to do. He said, and God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant. Therefore, thou and thy seed after thou in thy generations, this is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and there shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man child in your generations, be that he is born in the house or brought with money or any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from the people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give her three, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and Sarah that is 99 years old? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son. Here Sarah is 90 years old. And he says, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And so God said, Ishmael is not going to be the one who I'm cutting the covenant with. I'm going to cut the covenant with Isaac, which is Sarah's son. It's going to come from her loins. And so God said, okay, now this is a covenant. This is a promise. Now, let's look at the second covenant God cut with the children of Israel. Let's turn over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. What had happened, God had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they was out in the wilderness, and they began to murmur. They murmured about not having water. They murmured about not having meat. And in all those areas, God gave them what they asked for. And they vexed poor Moses so hard that he wanted to just give up. They went on and they continued to murmur. And so God came in and he said, what I need to do, I need to tell these individuals, these people I brought out of Egypt, how they should walk in righteous, right standing with me. And so God said, what I'm going to have to do, I'm going to have to give them something, some rules and some judgments and some statutes that they should follow and know how to follow me and obey me. They're not going to do it just by me telling them what they should do. At first, he didn't even want to give them any. He didn't give them a covenant. He just wanted them to obey him out into the wilderness and go with where he told them to go. So in Exodus chapter 20, it says that, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Then he went on to give them the covenant scriptures, or covenant do's and don'ts that they should do, which we call the Old Covenant. And he began to go on and he tell them the things that they should do. And from Exodus from Exodus 20 through Exodus 24, God began to give him all the judgments, all the statutes, and everything that they should cover, which was a ton of things. So in order, they had to follow every one of those statutes, every one of those judgments that they in order to become righteous in the sight of God. And at the time, there was no way possible that they could cover every one of them. But in order for them to become righteous, they had to follow every one of those statutes, every one of those judgments, every one of those things that God told them to do. So here in Exodus 24, beginning at verse 7, let me read that for you. It says, and he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you concerning all these words. And it goes on to tell us about them setting up the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies and all those different things. But in any covenant, there always had to be blood shed. In the first covenant, that men were circumcised and they used the blood from as a circumcision. Here in this second covenant, they sprinkled the blood. They took all those. If you go back up, it says, let me go to 24:1. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thy and Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told all the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. All so if you go back from 20 all the way through 24, that God was giving them judgments, giving them statutes, and the people said they was making a covenant. They made a promise that everything that God said that they would do. And he said, and Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrifice, peace offerings and oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the bread and put it in the basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. So there's that blood again that he sprinkled on the altar. And we know there's no covenant without the shedding of blood. So now you say, now we got the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Old Covenant was we call the Ten Commandments. When he first started giving them in 20, he's beginning to tell them the things: thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not bear false witness to thy neighbor, thou shalt not covenant. And so he went on and he began to tell them. Then I say, give them judgment, the things they should do if they kill their neighbor's calf. And it was all the way down to the detail. And so we say, well, what was the purpose of a covenant? The purpose of the covenant, the Apostle Paul began to tell us why the covenant was, that a person could know. It would point out sin. Say, for instance, we go down here and we're going out 22 and we get to Highway 44 and there's a red light there. And if the red light is red, we have to stop. But if they didn't have no red light there and we go through, so there can be no knowledge of going through a red light since there's no red light there. But if, you know, and so the covenant says that because the covenant, the things that you should do and should not do shall make you righteous. And so these are the things that should make you righteous. If you follow these to the letter, then you can become in right standing with the Father, and then you can receive those blessings that God has promised for us. The Apostle Apostle Paul over in Galatians, he began to tell us the purpose of the covenant. If we turn to Galatians chapter 3. And many times I'll read the scripture because many times the scripture just explain itself, and I always say the Bible preaches itself. I don't need to preach it, and it'll preach itself. So here in Galatians chapter 3, the Galatians people, they have came in, they accepted Christ Jesus as their Lord, but some people had came in and they began to tell them some different things. And so they start to revert back. They start to go back to what they was under the law. So when he came in, the Apostle Paul came in and he began to tell them about what was happening. And in verse 3, he said, "O foolish Galatians," he said, "who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith." He said, did you receive the Spirit? See, now when I read that chapter in Romans 8, I want to show you that we are in a spiritual kingdom. It is not a physical kingdom or a carnal kingdom. One of the things that if you can see it, a carnal Christian is no different than a sinner in terms of he's saved, but in terms of his actions, he acts just like a sinner. You can tell no difference between a carnal Christian and a sinner. The same thing a sinner do, a carnal Christian would do the exact same thing. So he goes on to say, he said, "This is what I learn of you," verse 2, "you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith." He said, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and working miracles among you, doeth he do by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" Verse 6 says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." So that's that. You go back to Genesis 12, and they say when Abraham believed, that was before the first covenant, it said even Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. "Know ye that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." So it says we are the children. He said you and your seed for all generations to come shall receive those blessings. That was in that covenant in Genesis 17. And he said, you who are faith is going to receive the same blessings that Abraham. That was before the law. And so it goes on to say, as we're going to see in here, it said, "Know you that they which are faith," we are faith. Romans 10:8-9 says that, what saith it? "The word is nigh thee, even in our mouth and in our heart, that is the word of faith that we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus Christ, that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, then you are saved." You come into this supernatural kingdom where God in himself, and God now comes and resides on the inside of us. He sent the Holy Spirit to carry out his will, help us to orchestrate through this supernatural realm. We're no longer in the natural realm. We're no longer in this physical realm, but our spirits, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if we be Christ, then are we new creations. It says old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we are new in our spirit, not our natural body, not our fleshly bodies, but in our spirit man. Our spirit man has been created. And since it has been recreated, he's given us laws by which we should operate in it. And it's called the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and not the law of sin and death. So he goes on to say, he says, know ye that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathens through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying unto him, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So when he first made the covenant, he made it with Abraham and the children of Israel, just Abraham and his family. But he told him, he said, through you, all nations of the earth shall be blessed. That means he bring in the Gentiles. He bring in all the Jews. It was just the Jews at that time. But he brought in the Greeks. He brought in the Gentiles. He brought in all nations of the earth. Anybody who would accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they would receive the same promise that Abraham received. It says, and the scripture foreseeing that God, verse 8, that God would justify the heathens through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And then they which be of faith are blessed with faith of Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For as many as are under the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continue not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So he's saying that if you don't do every ordinance, every judgment, everything that's in the law, then you cannot follow the law. You can't pick out and choose the part you want to follow. You have to follow the whole law. So and so if you didn't follow the whole law, I mean, out of 630 some statutes and judgments, every one of them you had to follow to the letter. That's the way God set it up. And so if you didn't do all of them, you couldn't, if you didn't do if you missed one of them, then you wasn't made righteous in the sight of God. It goes on to say is that for as many as are under the law, verse 10, works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continue not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Those who have been justified by the blood of Jesus, we should live by faith and not by trying to follow the rules and the commandments. We should live by faith. He says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. He's saying if you're gonna try to do them, you have to do every one of them. You're going to have to live by them if you're going to try to live by the law. He said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from trying to follow the rules and follow the commandments. He said, redeemed us. He said, has redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So he took care of the law. The law was fulfilled when he came to that river Jordan. And he looked at John the Baptist, and he told John the Baptist that he needed him to baptize him, and John the Baptist said, you need to baptize me, and Jesus said, you got to do this that all righteousness might be fulfilled, so that the righteousness of God, the righteousness that God was looking for, would be fulfilled. So then, once he baptized him, he came up out of the water. It said the Spirit lit on him like a dove. That was the Holy Spirit came and indwelled him at that time. We know the heavens was open, and we know God spoke to him at that time. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He had not did not one miracle. He had not did one sign or not one wonder, but he just followed God. He just, he had said, he told his mother, he said, woman, don't I got to be about my Father's business. That's, he told him that. But he went on and he took care of. So that was at the age of 30. He went back and he submitted to his parents. And, he had to submit. He had to learn. He had to train. That was the whole purpose. He had to submit to authority. In the body of Christ, we don't like to submit to authority. And so but he had to submit to the authority that God had placed on him so he could learn, so he could train. Amen. He goes on to say that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promises, so we got now, so we receive it by faith, by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He said, brother, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, yet it, if it be confirmed, no man disannul it or added thereon. Now to Abraham and his seed was the promise made. To Abraham and his seed, the promise was made. He's the way he said, you know, he's going to bless him. He's going to bless those who curse, who bless him. He's going to curse those who curse him. And he said, through him and your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. He goes on to say, he said, not to seeds, S-E-E-D-S. He said, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So that's what we're coming in. That's what we're trying to show you, trying to see. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. So the covenant that God cut with Abraham, that first covenant, was 430 years before the law. So the law itself could not disannul that first covenant that God cut with Abraham. He said it was 430 years. Then when he brought the children of Israel out, he made another covenant. And that was a covenant with the children of Israel. And that's when they brought in the Ten Commandments, and they try to set up those do's and those don'ts and what they should do, those judgments, those statutes. It says, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Genesis 17. He said, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator one, but God is one. He goes on to say, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. So he's saying that righteousness, it could not come by the law. You could not get that righteousness that God expected because it was too much. And so what God was trying to show to people, they needed a savior. And only could Jesus come in and do what needed to be done to make man righteous in the sight of God. There, because like I said, God said, everything here you have to do. In order for you to become righteous, you have to do everything that I said in this law. If you miss one of them, you have not been justified. God was trying to justify us, and he was trying to bring us back to the point that Adam was before he sinned in the garden. And the only way he could do that, he had to bring a sinless lamb into the world, which was Jesus Christ, and let him, a man who had no sin, and shed his blood for us. And then all we had to do is come in and believe what he said and accept him. And then we could observe the righteousness of God. That's why in that question, when that young man came up in the Gospels, and he asked him, what is the greatest commandment? And one of the things he said, the greatest commandment in the law. And Jesus looked at him and he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your spirit. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So he only gave him two commandments. He said, on this hang all the law and the prophet, everything. If you do this, then everything that was in the law was covered. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your spirit. That means that if you love God, then those things that he was telling you to do, you're going to follow those. And then you're not going to commit any atrocities against your brother if you love your brother as yourself. And so he said, hang all the law. It goes on to say, I just want to read it right on through this. It says, there is the law against, verse 21, against the promises of God, God forbid. But for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we was kept under the law, shut up until the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So now we don't have to try to follow the law. All we have to do is believe Jesus and that he finished the work. He said, but after faith has come, we are no more under a schoolmaster's. For we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. He said, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. And verse 29 is what I want you to see. It says, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So once you accepted Jesus Christ, that first covenant, what he made with Abraham over Genesis 17, he said, if you accept him, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So in that case, that was nothing that we had to do. Only thing that we had to do was believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Believe that God raised him from the dead. And then every promise that he made to Abraham is our promise. He didn't tell us no do's, no don'ts. He didn't give us any commandments, but to love the Lord thy God with all our heart and love our brother as ourselves. And that is the part of the covenant. So let's turn over to Hebrews and look at it one more time here. Over in Hebrews chapter 7. Seven talks about the high priest, and we talked about our high priest. It was made after order of Melchizedek. And we get over into chapter 8, and he talks about again. So again, you know, you notice I'm reading scripture because I figured the scripture explain themselves. That way out, and then like I said, the Holy Spirit, you're going to hear some things. Holy Spirit will reveal some things. It has to be revealed to you. You have to be able to see it in order to understand, you know, when I say there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. And so when we go in and try to condemn somebody, God didn't condemn us. And so Jesus said, I don't condemn you. And so our place is to bring that person back in right standing with the Father. Let him see the error of his ways. And so here in Hebrews chapter 8, it says, now of the things which have spoken, this is the psalm we have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. You know, Jesus had to leave here and he had to go and sit on the right hand of the Father. He said he was going to send the Holy Spirit back to us. He's sitting there right now, his present day ministry. He's making intercession for us. And so this goes on to say, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices where it is necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if we were on earth, he should have been should not be a priest, seeing that they are priests that offer gifts according to the law. So we know in the law, when they went in, they only went in, they had to go in every year. They had to take sacrifices of blood and take it into the Holy of Holies. And they took scapegoats and they put the sin of the people on these scapegoats and they sent them out in the wilderness and so they could take their sins. But they still had conscience, they had memories of those sins they committed on a daily basis. And so, that's why they had to go in every year and bring those sacrifices into the Holy of Holies. He said, verse 5 said, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent minister, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established up on better promises. So he's a mediator of a better covenant with better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, That's the covenant that he made with those children over in Exodus. He said, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should have no place been sought for the second. He said, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, the Lord, which I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31, he told him that what was going to happen. He told him that he was going to put that laws in our heart. He was going to establish his covenant in our heart. He said, finding fault. Okay, now, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. He said, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Verse 12 says, and for I will. See, what we're seeing here is God said, now, this is a covenant God cut with the Trinity. He didn't cut it with man. Man didn't have anything to do with this covenant. He didn't have anything to do in this covenant. Only thing he had to do in this covenant was believe. And that was what? Believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and believe that God raised him from the dead. And so in this covenant, God said, I will. In every part of this covenant, God said, I will. God said, I'm going to do this. Just like he told us that he was going to reestablish his government up on his shoulder. And he said, the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. And that's where the grace part come in. That's why the God says, say you're saved by grace and not of yourself. He said, you're saved by grace. Ephesians 2:8, you're saved by grace through faith. Through faith. It is not of yourself, but it is a gift of God. So a gift, when you give somebody a gift, that means I didn't have to do anything for you. You come up and you give me a gift. And so God said, I save you because of my grace, because of grace. It is a gift. It's a gift of God. And so all I had to do is take that gift that he gave to me, which was Jesus, believe that. And then once I do that, then everything that pertains to this covenant, I could receive it, because not I couldn't have did enough. The children of Israel could not do enough. They could not follow those laws. They could not do what God wanted them to do to cover that, cover and become justified by God in the sight of God. And so he had to send, that sinless lamb. He had to send Jesus in order to take care of us, so we can go back to the Garden of Eden, where God wanted us to be, that we can have our dominion in his created in his image. Through the Holy Spirit and Jesus' blood. It says, he goes on to say, and he says, and they shall, verse 11, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he said, a new covenant, he had made the first old, now that which decayeth and wax old is ready to vanish away. And so, like I say, and again, if we get an understanding of the two covenants that God set up for us, then we understand why God said we are unpunishable, because God said, I'm the one who's doing this. It's my covenant. I cut it with you. It was nothing that you had to do. It didn't say we had to go out and sin. Because if we love God, we're not gonna sin, because we're gonna try to figure out what is my relationship, what is my heart, what is my heart saying, what is my heart done. That means I love the Lord. I love the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, and all my spirit. That means that what He's training me, what He wants me to do, then I'm gonna follow those things that He wants me to do. I'm gonna be just like Jesus when He was walking the earth. Jesus said, "I only do what I see my Father do. I'll say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do." And so I'm gonna put my laws in their minds and in their hearts. And so if I'm gonna do that, And so now we can see that we're in the realm of the spirit, and so we had to have a means by which we could operate in the spirit. So that's why, you know, we was born in the flesh, and so we was basically trained in the flesh. But when we accepted Jesus Christ, we came into a new kingdom, and we have a spiritual kingdom, so we had to be trained in this spiritual kingdom. And so only way it's going to happen, the Holy Spirit. That's why he told him. He said, look, it's going to be different. He told his disciples. He said, it's going to be different for y'all now. He said, I command y'all. He said, I tell y'all, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise. So you'll be endued. He said, you're going to be endued with power from on high. And so they didn't know what they was looking for. They didn't know what they was waiting for. So they all went to this place, this upper room, and they were sitting there waiting. And if you go back to Acts 2:1 and all those areas, Acts 2, and it said the Spirit of the Lord came in like a mighty rushing wind and set upon all them, and they all got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And so once that power came on them, then they could go out and do ministry. They began to train for ministry. So, and now one of the things that we who are in the body of Christ, and that's the purpose of the fivefold ministry, has been learning, has been teaching. When Jesus ascended, he gave those graces, those gifts, those fivefold ministry gifts. He said, for the maturing of the saints. And then he talks about work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. One of the things that the apostles have been ministering on is sonship. And so in order to operate in the kingdom, we have to have a revelation. It has to be revealed to us that we are sons of God. It's not just going to come to us naturally. It's some awesome teaching that he's been ministering to us on. And so now, the Apostle Paul, go to Galatians chapter 4. Brother John, you didn't give us many notes, but I gave you a bunch of notes. You got a bunch of information tonight. In Galatians chapter 4, here it is. Now, you know, he tells us that we are heirs of God through Christ Jesus. And in Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul was still teaching. He's still teaching the Galatians. He said, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differ nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So we got all this power. We are sons of God with power, but we're not mature. And since we're not mature, we cannot handle the things of the kingdom. And so until we mature in the things of the kingdom, we're not going to be given anything to hurt ourselves with, because we try to take this power that God has given to us, then we're going to destroy our own selves. So he goes on to say, he said, but it's under tutors and governments until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were under bondage, under elements of the world. But when the fullness of time come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. See, when Jesus came, he was teaching from the law. But then he went on. He was teaching the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was teaching them what would happen. He was teaching his disciples the things that would happen when the kingdom be established on the earth. One of the things he told his disciples, he said, pray that God's kingdom be established in earth, that God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He was to let them know, this is what happened. When the kingdom of God walks up on anything that's against the kingdom, he said, it should be eliminated. He should be destroyed. That's again, he said, I came, 1 John 3:8, he said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. And so because he came to destroy the works of the devil, then the kingdom had to be in operation. And when the kingdom was operation, everything that was not part of the kingdom was eliminated, whether it was lack and poverty, whether it was sickness and disease, no matter what came. If it was not like it should be in heaven, then he eliminated. Nobody went hungry. Nobody went sick while Jesus was on earth. And that's what he wants us to do while we was here. That's what he wants us to mature. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to be grown people in the kingdom. If I can say it that way, grown people in the kingdom of God. And so, again, we discussed part of the covenant, and still it's so much more in there. And I want to cover, you know, some more of it. And like I said, I read through Galatians chapter 3 to see that. I want you to see Galatians chapter 4 and on your own time, so we can gain that understanding, so the Holy Spirit can reveal to us this kingdom and this these covenants. We can understand why we are unpunishable in the kingdom God has set up for us. When we don't understand the nature of these relationships, it causes problems. In Galatians 3, Paul asks the Galatians, who has bewitched you? What happened to you? A few minutes ago, you were just fine. What is going on? Who has deceived you? Who has allowed you to completely alter your belief system? And then Paul diagnosed the problem. He said, you're trying to practice two covenants. You're trying to live in two camps. And 3 and 1 say, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set for crucified among you? And so he goes on, and if we read on through Galatians 4, we'll see where he talked about. Remember, we talked about Hagar and Ishmael. We talked about Isaac. And then he told Sarah, he said, cast out the bondwoman. So he was saying, get rid of the old covenant. You can't operate in the spiritual realm. We cannot operate in the two kingdoms. Cast her out. So while we are in Christ Jesus, they cannot coincide. They cannot run together. And so we cannot, if we're going to operate in the law, then you have to follow the whole law. But we have this new king, this new covenant that we're operating through Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory. Father, we thank you that the words that you've given to us, we've spoken to your people. And now, Father God, they are no longer just hearers, but they are doers of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, there's no meditation scripture for tonight, for this class. So you can read Galatians 3 on your own. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Yes, sir. All right.